When you look at your watch and you look at the date, it's the 20th of November, and it's hard to believe that it's been just about 2 months since we arrived at the feast in South Dakota. It's amazing how quickly that time has come. But if the 2 months since the feast have not made an impression on all of us in some way, we probably have a lot of introspection to do. The sermons during this time, again, this past 8 weeks or so, with so many of members sick with COVID and with challenges, as well as several other church groups, our faith could well have been tested. And we've heard some wonderful sermons and sermonettes in this period that have really helped clarify the growth and just for our survival in a lot of ways. And today I want to take another step in this direction by posing the question, can we be grateful for all that we've gone through? Of course, not just regarding the COVID challenges, but the usual pre, during, and post-feast challenges that we all do experience. We come to understand that. We come to see that. And from my perspective, all of these rather normal challenges that we might see every year push us and confront us and make us think about our obedience versus conforming. And we certainly had a good dose, so to speak, of this. So too, work and school were tough during that period and tough on all of us, whether you're young or older and where you are in your life. And tough while we're gone, and things can stack up for our return. Add to this the fact that a rather large percentage, as I mentioned, of church group members had gotten sick during the feast and post-feast and had to figure out how to travel home feeling that way. It's just amazing, the challenges. Once we were all home, new challenges erupted and had to be addressed. Remote work again, more time away from school, and for some of us, additional COVID testing that might be required for our jobs began. Still, we were able to attend services on the Sabbath for the most part and honor God as He requires and as Mr. Rankit clearly indicated early on here today. The illnesses were concerning, but we had anointing and we had prayers. Missing more school and work in the long run, and frankly, in God's time, is a drop of a faucet and for all of us an inconvenience. Can we then realize now that we must be grateful for all that we have faced? Because as we learned just in the past few weeks, God's pathway for us is to refinement. Turn with me now to Philippians 4 and verses 12 and 13. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Again, Philippians 4, 12 and 13. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there's a bit of a paradox here, obviously. You can see that. We can be stronger as we are weak in our own eyes, and that's what God wants us to be. He does not want us to be strong in the context of this world. He wants us to realize that our humanity cannot solve this and cannot make us stronger in the moment. We need to rely solely on God for all of these challenges we face. If you've ever been to one of those goofy company or job retreats where they do an exercise, and maybe some of you have seen this, allowing yourself to fall backwards into the arms of people you may not know very well, and perhaps not even, maybe you don't even trust that they're going to be there to grab you. If we can do this and laugh about it in a job setting later, surely we can have the strength and faith to fall back into God's arms. That's what's most important. I'm not saying that this is easy. Our family members during this period were very sick, maybe hospitalized with different conditions and requiring medicines that have their own side effects. We also have learned that. In the heat of the moment, it was natural as a human to pose the question, why us? And we've covered that in, again, numerous sermons and sermonettes. But let's look at how David characterizes this, and it's entitled Praise for the Lord's Mercies, and it's a psalm of David, and it's Psalm 103 in verses 2 through 5. And I find myself really relying on this book of Psalms to really understand and get a good perspective on how to face these challenges. So verses 2 through 5, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your disease, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. It's very poetic, and you can see the song there, or the hymn, very clearly. We were tested this year, perhaps more than most years, and that seems to be coinciding with the challenges that we see in the world right now that are impossible to ignore. I think we now have a far better sense as to the reason and really the need for this time, for these challenges in this time. With the world showing the signs of failure, and anyone who does not see that word is the correct word, God's people have to reach and seek the strength of the Holy Spirit through God. We need also to remember that we have an advocate in our Lord Jesus Christ who understands the sickness and suffering and even the death of loved ones that many people around the world have seen. Imagine going through these challenges without this help, and many people who don't believe do. In so many ways, it might feel impossible to get through, but we know what we have. We have to rely on that and trust in God. Yet, what I see and hear is a renewed understanding that God never left our side. He did not forsake us during this period, and he knew the pain and suffering, and I believe it must have hurt him to not allow us to forgo these trials. And I imagine that God felt the same way about his son and the trials that he knew he would have to suffer for our salvation. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verses 16 through 18. Very familiar, entitled The Day of the Lord. We talked about this quite a bit in recent months. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verses 16 through 18. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light. These are preface to getting to the verses 16 through 18. So forgive me. I just wanted to set the context. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So again, now getting to verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks for this, the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So again, we have clarity here as to what we should be doing when these challenges come upon us. And we haven't we attempted to do this during this period, to understand what it is that we are facing and have been facing, whether we were sick or just caring for the sick in our families and working in our post-feast ways to find the way to cope with the world, knowing that we'd rather be together back at the feast. And many of us say that and reflect on that. As I said earlier, in that falling backwards exercise, if we can trust people, can't we see how foolish that is and put all of our hopes and dreams and faith and trust in God only? And in essence, turn our back appropriately on the world. We know that's not always easy, but we know we have to do that. That's what God expects. We use medicines and physicians to help us cope during this period. God has given us these things if they're good and right. We examine with our minds and with our hearts whether something is from God or not. And then just finishing up in Psalms 107, thanksgiving to the Lord for his great works of deliverance. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So not only must we trust in God and his plan for all of us, we must not lose hope over setbacks or perceived setbacks. Sometimes they're not even what we think. It's just our mind blowing it out of proportion. Not only trust, we must rejoice in all that God has sent our way, because we know on the other side of it, there's joy. How can we become stronger and more perfected if we never practice what and all that we claim to believe? So the next time we face what seems inexplicable, we're trying to figure out why, what is going on? Trust that God knows exactly what's going on and what he is doing and how it will change all of us just exactly as he wishes.